So we were talking about that the hazard ratios in these trials in the first-line setting with the addition of CDK4/6 are all consistent and similar in the range of 0.55, which kind of tells you that this is really a class effect of these agents, and hence they've become our standard of care in the first-line setting. We also have data for these trials now in the second-line setting with a different endocrine therapy partner, in this case fulvestrant, based on the PALOMA-3 study with palbociclib, the MONARCH 2 study, which looked at fulvestrant with abemaciclib, and more recently with MONALEESA 3 study, which looked at ribociclib in combination with fulvestrant. And again, we saw that the addition of palbociclib, ribociclib, or abemaciclib to fulvestrant led to a significant improvement in progression-free survival in patients who have not received a CDK4/6 in the first-line setting and are endocrine-resistant. But majority of these trials were in postmenopausal women, with the exception of PALOMA 3 and MONARCH 2 in the second-line setting in combination with fulvestrant, where they did allow a subset of women with premenopausal and perimenopausal who were enrolled in the study. So just summarizing the premenopausal subset, in the PALOMA 3 study, which was about 118 patients, regardless of the menopausal status, the benefit of progression-free survival was seen in this subset. What we also heard, actually, from Patrick Niven at the ASCO meeting this past June was the premenopausal subset analyses in the MONARCH 2 trial. And so these were women who received abemaciclib along with ovarian suppression, and these ovarian suppression had to be started 4 weeks prior to them enrolling on the study in combination with fulvestrant. So these were about 114 women. And at a median follow-up of about 20.4 months, 56% remained on treatment with the abemaciclib arm, and about 26% remained on treatment in the fulvestrant placebo arm. The largest body of data that exists for premenopausal women comes from the phase 3 randomized trial of MONALEESA 7, which enrolled pre- and perimenopausal women with hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative disease who have had no prior endocrine therapy for metastatic disease, allowed to have at least one line of chemotherapy in the metastatic setting, and 670 of these women were then randomized to receiving ribociclib with either of the two endocrine therapy partners, tamoxifen or a non-steroidal AI in addition to guserelin, versus placebo with an endocrine therapy partner and guserelin with a primary endpoint of progression-free survival, and consistent with what we've seen with postmenopausal women. The addition of ribociclib was favored in improving progression-free survival across these subgroups, regardless of bone-only disease, prior chemotherapy, or disease-free interval. What about safety? I think there was no new safety signal just by being a premenopausal on this trial. I think the most common hematologic toxicity that we know from these class of agents remained neutropenia, with very few febrile neutropenia, which occurred in about 2% of the patients in the ribociclib arm. In terms of non-hematologic toxicities, most of these toxicities are related to the endocrine therapy partner, so there was really not a big difference with the addition of ribociclib that led to a new safety signal. Bottom line, I think what we've learned is that CDK4/6 inhibitors with endocrine therapy and ovarian suppression is a very effective treatment strategy, regardless of this difference in tumor biology that we might think premenopausal women have, and is a new standard of care even in the premenopausal subset with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease. And we say that because of the MONALEESA 3 trial and the subset analyses from the other two trials of PALOMA 3 and MONARCH 2. And what we don't know still is novel strategies that we would need when patients do progress on these agents. And currently, outside of a clinical trial, there is no rationale for continuing CDK4/6 blockade beyond progression on CDK4/6 inhibitors. There's also ongoing neoadjuvant and adjuvant trials, which also allow pre- and perimenopausal women. So we also await data from those trials to see if they have a role in the early stage setting.